If you are just joining us, good morning to you. We're talking about the 25th anniversary of the Kegworth Air disaster. It was a disaster that will be clear in the memory of Alan Johnson, who's available to speak to me. Alan, good morning.
Good morning.
Alan, you were on that flight. It's hard to believe it's 25 years, or maybe it seems to you a long time, maybe it seems a very short time. Does it ever go out of your mind?
It never totally leaves you. It's a kind of, in my life, it's a kind of BC-AD division. Everything that happened before Kegworth and everything that happened after Kegworth.
You managed to survive. You were sitting near the back of the plane, I believe, Alan. A lot of the people...
No, I was in the middle of the plane. I was over the trailing edge of the wing on the right.
And most of the people who were killed were towards the front of the plane, isn't that right?
Most of them, but they were from one end of the plane to the other, really. And including in the row behind me and beside me.
What do you remember of that night?
Well, I had been totally immersed in reading a book. I had read it on the tube to Heathrow. I read it sitting waiting at Heathrow. I read it on the aircraft. And when the emergency broke, I kept on reading it as a form of distraction. Mind you, I might have read the same page several times over, but I did go on reading. It was a story that was particularly of interest to me. And I reassured the young woman sitting across by the window from me that these aircraft can fly and land on one engine, because they can, but they can't if the pilot turns off the wrong engine.
And of course this is what
did happen. So I sort of reassured her on that.
But just the reason for you reassuring her was you'd heard that she and you, everyone had heard the bang, you were aware that one of the engines had gone.
Oh, you couldn't not be aware of it. It was like putting a shovel full of coarse gravel into a washing machine and then the whole thing being shaken about. That's my description of it. I have flown a great deal all around the world, and I had never experienced anything like that. So I knew it was serious, and I was not surprised when we were told we were diverting to East Midlands Airport.
And in that announcement, did they say to you that they'd lost an engine?
Yes, I heard the announcement. They turned off one engine. It turned out to be the wrong one. I was in no way in a position to see anything because I was on an aisle seat.
Do you have a sense of sympathy for those who made the decision to switch off the wrong engine?
They made a human mistake. They made a human mistake. It was partly also due to training. It was a new aircraft, but there was a new engine and there were new instruments, and that's just one of these things that happens. We all can make mistakes.
What do you remember, Alan, if you don't mind telling me, of those moments after all of that happened with regards to trying to get back to the nearest airport, the sound of the churning of the gravel in the washing machine, as you so vividly describe it, and then the motorway below you and the coming down. Do you remember any of that?
I didn't see the motorway below me. What I did see was the spire of Kegworth Church. I thought, my goodness, we are low. But then I didn't know East Midlands Airport. I thought maybe we were coming into the runway. And the first thing I knew was a violent jolting. And as you know, we hit the far side of the eastern side of the M1 motorway and then ploughed across it and filled a lamp standard. And the aircraft rode up, as it were, the other steep embankment on the other side and broke into three main parts. And to me, all I remember is what I have described to other people as noisy black chaos. You were thrown about and then it came to a halt and there was complete silence. It was eerie. And then, after a few seconds, one heard distressing noises. I couldn't see anything because it was pitch black, where I was, anyway.
Do you get a sense when you look back on that tragedy, a sense of relief that you survived, or a sense of dread that you were there in the first place?
No, I just accepted it as a situation that I had to somehow survive. I, like so many people, I thought this can't be happening to me, it happens to other people. And I had had a lot of experience of flying in countries in Africa and the Middle East and the Far East, and flown by rather more dubious airlines sometimes, and had some strange experiences. So I was, and also a lot of my work involved servicing with fuel aircraft at airfields all around the world. So I was experienced and interested in all aspects of aviation. I still am.
Have you flown since?
Many, many times. In fact, my family know I enjoy flying. I hate the airport side of things nowadays, but I enjoy flying. And indeed, for our 50th wedding anniversary a few years ago, our family bought us an hour's flight out of a local airfield called Newton Ards, and also for my 80th birthday 7 years ago on another occasion.
That first flight after Kegworth, did that...
The line is beginning to fade.
Yeah, sorry, Alan. Your first flight after the Kegworth disaster, was that a difficult step for you to take?
The first flight after the Kegworth disaster was from East Midlands back to Belfast. And that was not an easy experience. I was on a stretcher, and there's nothing I could do. I was carried up, and, I said to myself, lightning doesn't strike twice. It does sometimes, but I knew it wouldn't on this occasion. But obviously, one was very uneasy, and I was at that stage, quite traumatized.
I'm not so sure if I went through that.
Awfully sorry. The line is fading hard.
Alan, I really appreciate your time this morning, because it is a poignant day and a difficult day for you, I'm sure. I really appreciate you taking part in the programme, and our thoughts are with you and everyone associated with that tragedy 25 years ago. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Alan Johnson, who obviously was on the flight.